Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Listen carefully, for this is God's word for us here today. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and they followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May God the blessing to the reading of his word and grant us understanding today in our hearing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, that we pray over the next few moments that you lead, guide, and direct our thoughts and our hearts to your thoughts and your heart for the people of this world. We pray this in your name. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Lamar Hunt was the man who started the American Football League, and he was the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs. And not like probably like a lot of us, if you've had kids, they've bounced a ball or time or two in your house. Anybody ever had that happen before? Yeah, and it can be quite annoying as they bounce this ball up and down, and eventually what are you going to do? You're going to go up to them and say, "Give me that," right? And take it out of their hand. Well, Lamar Hunt, the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs, he started the American Football League, had that same experience. And as he grabbed the ball that his daughter was bouncing in the house, it said Super Bowl. And he wondered where in the heck she ever got something like that. And it was that immediate idea that came to him with the epiphany of having a Super Bowl. That, you know, if they have a Super Bowl, we should have a Super Bowl. And this, you know, old league, the National Football League, and my new football league should have this one big game that comes together. And it's from that little ball that that idea came. There's an interesting story behind one of the most famous football players of all time, Jerry Rice. Now, Jerry Rice leads almost every category that a receiver can have. Now, I'm just going to tell you a few of them because it's just amazing to me that one person can pull this all together. He's the all-time leader in receptions. He has 1,549. He's the all-time leader in receiving yards. He has 22,895. Now, that's a lot of yards, but the person in second place doesn't play football anymore, Terrell Owens, and he only has 15,934. So think about the difference between the two. He's also the all-time leader in touchdowns at 197 touchdowns. Now, he was this great star for the San Francisco 49ers. He played for the Raiders. He was in the NFL for a lot of years. But one of the things that you may not know about him, if you think about how big a star he was, you may think he went to the College of Alabama, right? Or maybe he went to Florida State. Or maybe he went to one of these Georgia or LSU or some big, huge college football name. But you know where he actually went to school? Mississippi Valley State University. And Itabena, Mississippi. Now, that is a virtual unknown. That's not going to roll off your tongue either, is it? And he was asked, why in the world did this great receiver end up at this little itty-bitty college that no one's ever even heard of before, let alone big stars come out of? And he said, Mississippi Valley State was the only one who came to my home, sat down with me, with my mom and me, and talked to me like I was a human being. He said, all the other big schools, they sent me all these letters, they sent me, you know, these huge propaganda items that I didn't really want or didn't really care for, but Mississippi Valley State came and sat with me. It makes all the difference in the world to meet someone eye to eye and invite them into something bigger. And I think that's a key thing about the Christian faith. As we look at each other, we feel what the church is supposed to be all about. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee that day, He wasn't just coming there with the big huge propaganda of all these promises that he was going to make these little guys who were fishing on the lake. He passed along the Sea of Galilee that day and he came up to these people and personally invited them into something bigger. How many of you here, by a show of hands, have been deep sea fishing before? Raise your hand if you've ever been. It was surprising to me that 2.4 million people participated in deep sea fishing last year. And about $2.5 billion was made in that industry. That's a huge amount. 55,000 people are employed in the deep sea fishing industry. You may be asking me, how in the world does deep sea fishing have anything to do with what you're about to talk about? Well, we are supposed to be deep soul fishing. You know, and it's a lot like the deep sea fishing, the picture that we have out there. And if Jesus were to come here today, what would he see and what would he say to you and I? I think Jesus, if he showed up here right now and he saw this, he wouldn't see a building, he would see a boat. We would be in a boat out there ready to go do something. And in a crowd like this, he would see two types of people, either fish or fishermen. There's two types of people. And let me let you in on a little secret. You're either one or the other. Either you're the fish or you're the fisherman. That's what you are. I have no reason to doubt that the very first thing that Jesus would say to you and say to me if he were here today is the very first thing that he said to the first disciples as he showed up there on the Sea of Galilee. He would look you dead in the eye and he would say to you two words, follow me. That's the words that Jesus would say. He would see that either you're a fish or you're a fisherman. And if you're not a fisherman, he would look you right in the eye and he would say, follow me. Follow me right here and right now. And that one statement, it tells us what our primary business is if we decide to follow Jesus. Our primary business is to be a fisherman and to fish for people. That's our job. It never ceases to amaze me that Jesus walks up to these two guys, the first two guys that he goes up to, and he doesn't have a lot of small talk conversation with them. They've likely never met personally, although they may have known each other from a distance. He walks up to them and immediately the words that fall out of his mouth is, follow me. Now, if I were them and you were them and someone came up to me and said, follow me, we'd have a few follow-up questions for that idea, would we not? We would follow you where? You know, who are you anyway? What business is of yours to ask me to go anywhere with you, right? My mom and dad taught me that I shouldn't go with strangers, right? That's the kind of idea that we would put out there if someone came up to us and said, follow me. He gave them no introduction. He didn't show them a driver's license. He didn't show them his social security number. He had no credentials that he presented to them. He simply said, follow me where I'm going. Can you imagine what went through their minds? And I found this epitaph on a tombstone in an old graveyard. It says this. It says, pause, my friend, as you go by. As you are now, so once was I. As I'm now, so you will be. Prepare, my friend, to follow me. So someone scratched a little thing on the bottom underneath that said, to follow you is not my intent until I find out to where you went. That's probably what they were thinking, right? I don't know where you're going to take me. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing. Now, I don't want to play that idea up so high that it's hard to break into, because in that time period, it was quite common for a rabbi to come along and invite people to follow him. But Jesus, you got to understand, is a virtual unknown among rabbis. So even to know that he was a rabbi and that he was coming to ask them to follow him, it would have been a difficult translation. I'm sure they felt amazed by who Jesus might have been. But then they didn't say all those things that I said. They basically, it says, they got up and they went where Jesus took them. And Jesus doesn't, here's the thing, he doesn't make them all kinds of promises. He doesn't say, you know, if you follow me, I'll make you prosperous. If you follow me, I'll make you popular. If you follow me, I'll make you powerful. He doesn't say any of those things. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, you can look at them and think, if they looked at Jesus and said, thanks, but no thanks, you could appreciate, at least they gave it a thought, right? But they didn't. It said immediately they left their nets and they followed after Jesus. They were gone in 60 seconds. In a blink of an eye, in a snap of a finger, they were gone. They left their homes. They left their jobs. They left their wives. They left their kids to follow an itinerant rabbi to the place wherever he took them. Think about that transition in their lives. And in all of that, this is what you have. To be a Christian means to be a follower of Jesus. That's what you are. If you're a Christian, if you decide you want to have Jesus into your life, it means you're a follower of Jesus and that you're going to allow Jesus to take you wherever he goes. That's what it means. At the core of what it is who is Jesus is calling us to be. See, and that means following Jesus in life and following Jesus in death. There's another lesson we learn, and that is to follow is to fish, or to put it even more simply, followers fish. I know Fred's thinking of the catfish on the Ohio River right now. That's not what Jesus is talking about, but he said, if you're following Jesus, you will be a fisher of men. Now, here's the thing, and I know that here's what people do from time to time, and this is something that we've kind of got into in the 21st century. We've got into the idea that a church can put on a big program. They can make sexy lights flash and fog machines go, and everybody's just going to flock to get there. In reality, that is not what the Bible says, and that's not in actuality even a good way to get things going. Because if people are coming for all the big time smoke and lights, they're missing the point of following Jesus as the first step to going that direction. It starts with an invitation. And it starts with you realizing, each and every one of you, that it's not a pastor's job to make sure all the people in Jeffersonville come to this church. It's our job collectively to decide that we're going to be followers of Jesus. And when we decide we're going to be followers of Jesus, that we're going to make personal invitations to other people to follow him too. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It means to be a fisherman yourself. Let me share with you a story. There's a young boy, and he was going to go down to the lake and fish, and his mom said, like some good moms do because they don't want a little boy getting in trouble, she said to him, "You got to take your sister with you." And he's like, "Oh, mom, I don't want to go. Last time I took her with me, I didn't catch anything." And she said, "Well, I'll assure you that I'll tell her not to make any noise," and blah, blah, blah. And he said, "It wasn't the noise she made. She ate all the bait." Let me share with you two reasons that most of us are not catching fish. First of all, most of us aren't looking for fish. And secondly, when we find them, we decide we're not going to fish. We never bait a hook. We never throw a line. We never go fishing. Your school is full of fish. Your workplace is full of fish. Your neighborhood is full of fish. Your office is full of fish. Some of you may feel like you're too shy to fish. Some of you may feel like, you know, I don't know how to do it. I don't know where I need to go or what I'm going to do. But the reality is I've been fishing before. Here's the thing. I've done a little fishing, and you can go to a lake and get there in a boat, and guess what? Fish don't just jump into your boat, do they? No, fish don't just jump into your boat. Fish don't come to the fishermen. Fishermen have to go to the fish. Jesus spent 3 years of his ministry, 3 whole years of his ministry, teaching the disciples how to fish. And the thing is, here's what bothers me, and I want to encourage you while at the same time stepping on your toe just a little bit, but some of us in this church have been in church way too long to not know how to fish. To not know, and it's a simple thing, really. And I have to do more of it, but you do too. There has to be these transition times in our life where we sit down with another couple or another human being and say, "You know what? I want you to be a part of my life and my church, and I want to help you to become the follower of Jesus that you're called to be." I mean, if you've been in church long enough, you've never had one of those conversations, you got to ask yourself if you're really following Jesus or not. Because that's what it means to follow him. It means to be a fisher of men. And it really isn't as hard as you make it out to be to sit there and have dinner with somebody and say, "You know, I love you and I've seen your life on this trajectory and I know your life will be so much better if you come to know who Jesus wants you to be with your life, and I want to join you and I want to help you. I want to be there for you." Because I think that is the heart of every Christian man and every Christian woman, is for us to be there and walk alongside somebody in the difficult times of their life. But you got to decide that it takes your time, it takes your effort, it takes a little bit out of your schedule of things that you want to do, but it's the primary calling of every person who calls upon the name of Jesus to be their Savior. In the book of Romans, it says this: "Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? How would anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That's Romans 10, 13 through 15. I'll change it and pull in the analogy that we're talking about with fish this morning. Whatever fish bites the bait of the gospel will be saved. How can fish be caught without bait? How can they bite the bait unless they see it? How will they see it unless it's placed in the water? How will the bait get into the water unless the fisherman ever goes to the lake in the first place? The thing is, what happens in too many churches is we'll go get in our Toyota motorboats, our Chrysler motorboats, our Dodge motorboats, our Mercedes motorboats. We'll get in our Ford motorboats, and we go to the lakes of our neighborhoods, the lakes of our schools, the lakes of our workplaces, and we'll never once think that we're fishing for anything. We'll go about and forget that the primary task of every Christian, every man and woman, is to be about their master's business. And your master's business is to love people into the kingdom of God. That's our master's business. Here's the thing. If you get into the following business, Jesus will make sure you get into the fishing business. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're in the fishing business. Listen to these words one more time. It says, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Here's the thing, isn't it interesting that the first people Jesus called to follow him were fishermen? The first title he gave to them were fishers of men. It was like he was telling them, what you're doing now for a living, I want you to do for the rest of your life, but I want to change it and tweak it just a little bit so you understand the bigger perspective of my kingdom. See, what he's saying is, I'll make you fishers of men. He's saying, I'll take you with your personality, with your background, with your testimony, with your influence, and I'll use you to catch men and women, girls and boys, and bring them into the family of God. Each and every one of you has a personality, has a testimony, has a way in which someone at some point in your life has caught you. You have a story about how you ended up here, and I hope it's not just some casual story that you treat with contempt, but the reason you're here in the faith of Jesus Christ is that someone encouraged you to be here. They fished for you. So we have to fish for other people. Thing is, buildings don't reach people. Technology doesn't reach people. Bells and whistles, gadgets and gadgets don't reach people. Only people can reach people. Boats don't catch fish. Rods and reels, sinkers and hooks by themselves are not going to catch a fish. Only people catch fish, and that's why our primary role is the fishing business. That's what we are. That's why one of our greatest values here at Park Memorial is being relational. You know what being relational means? It means that we got to be naturally friendly to those people that are around us who may not know anything about Jesus Christ. The only thing they're going to know is how we treat them, how we act toward them, and how our love shows through us. You know, I think if you are naturally relational with people, if you allow them to feel comfortable with you, if you give them an encouraging word, it will open up avenues that maybe you haven't had before and you don't know exactly what to do with all the time, but they'll open up about their spiritual lives. If someone knows you're a Christian man or a Christian woman, a real follower of Jesus, and you begin to come beside them, naturally, the Holy Spirit's going to open them up to your direction. It's not something you have to force. It's not something you have to prod and pull out of them. It's something the Holy Spirit does to open their hearts up. And one thing I've learned, and maybe you've learned it too, is people don't really need you giving them all the ins and outs of every little detail of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, because most of the time people who are far away from God already know what's keeping them from being there. Did you ever notice that? And I think that's one of the things that Christians get confused with fishing. They get confused fishing with actually telling people all the things they got to get right before they can get into the fishing business themselves or to follow Jesus. But most of people, 9 out of 10 out of people, already know what's going on in their lives and what's wrong with it, and they don't need us to go there and tell them. What they need is a gentle nudge, a little word of encouragement, an invitation to come with you. That's what's going to get them and bring them in to the fellowship of believers, which I believe if you're a part of the fellowship of believers and you're doing what God is asking you to do, you're going to be happier. The joy is going to be complete in you. Now, here's the thing I'm thinking about right now, just came to my mind. Tim Carpenter, everybody know Tim Carpenter? He plays in our worship band. He has some struggle with addiction, and he's pulled through that. He's a truck driver right now. And, you know, the thing is that as members of our congregation, it's my hope that you take interest in the people that go here, that you make that part of your ministry, that your ministry is in the world, but also the ministry here. His mom, Betty Carpenter, would love to be here and worship. I don't know how many of you go past where she lives at, but if somebody could say, I'm going to take interest in that situation and help bring her to worship, the more and more you connect in that kind of way, the more of a fisherman you are. That you take the responsibility upon yourself. Don't say, oh, it's the pastor's job to know all these different things, because guess what? A pastor's only one person, but we are many. And it's your job as the people of the church to take an interest in people and love them into the kingdom of God. Did you know that? It's all of our jobs collectively together. And so it's going to take a little effort on your part, more than just coming and sitting in a pew on Sunday morning, hearing a few flattering words and going home with putting your check in the offering plate, checking that thing off your list of things to do. It's going to take a lifestyle change if you're a follower of Jesus. And it's going to have to incorporate being a fisherman, each and every one of us. We want people to know that we care for them, but it's with a goal in mind. And that goal is for the love of God to take a hold of their life. Now, that's the thing is, you know, you can have a lot of useless friendships. I don't know if you know that. You can have a lot of useless friendships, but you got to help them know that you want the love of God to take a hold of their life, and that their life will be better with God than it ever is without God. And I realize that there's some people here today that are followers of Jesus, and I'm thankful for you for being here. The thing is there's some of you that are still fish, and you have to make that transition And I want to ask you to think about something that if you are a follower of Jesus, remember the person's face and name that helped love you into the kingdom of God. Who is the person that invited you? Who is the person that said that a life with Jesus Christ and giving Him your heart is the most important thing you could ever do? Who is that person? What is their name? What's their face look like? Now, what is it going to be? I think the greatest thing I was thinking about, I had to put together a ministry professional plan through this fruitful congregation journey that I've been in with at transition times in pastors' lives. I've been in ministry at this church 10 years. They asked me to go to these trainings. And part of it was to put together a professional ministry plan. And as I looked back and I was thinking about, and I went back to all the confirmation lists at Noblesville First United Methodist Church. I looked at all of the times we had professions of faith here at our church. And in my lifetime, I would like to lead 1,000 people to Jesus Christ. It's a goal that I set. I decided, you know, in my lifetime, if what's going to really make a difference? It's not going to be how much money I have in the bank. It's not going to be really how well I preached at this church or that church. It's going to be, did I lead enough people to Jesus or not? You have no idea the amount of lives that you lead to Jesus Christ in a collective sense like this. But how many of those personal conversations have you had? And have you really looked at how important those conversations may be? There's somebody in your life right now that God's calling you to have that conversation with. I know it. If you allow Him to lead you, He will lead you there. Lastly, if you are a follower of Jesus, I want you to understand that at Park Memorial UMC, you're called to be a fisherman. That's what you are. That's who you're called to be. And that if the church ever goes out of the fishing business, we're out of business. If we're not in the fishing business, we're out of business. So I'm going to call you right now to become fishers of men and allow God's love to show through you to other people in every way possible. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come before you right now. We lift up our hearts to you and we see how easy it was for you to walk up to a few fishermen and ask them to follow you. They left everything and they did just that. And so many times what we're getting caught up with is that we're dragging our nets behind us. We're trying to be one foot in one place and one foot in another place. And what we need to do is give everything to you and allow you to guide and direct our paths. Lord, I pray that you'd help set for us goals of people that we can reach in our lives. Help us to have those conversations with them that are life-changing and grace-filled. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.